Blog Talk Radio.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Tired of stretching out your paycheck to the last penny? Learn how to think like a millionaire, live within your means, and find true financial independence with Heather Wagenhals. Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Tune in to the midweek update for all the tips and tricks you'll need to manage your money. Here's your host, Heather Wagenhals.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. You are listening to the Midweek Update on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio, where every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we broadcast our Unlock Your Wealth Radio program and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of achieving financial independence. And I'm so excited, this Wednesday, February 17th, we are going to bring you a very special pre-recorded previous broadcast interview from one of our best of the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program interviews from Season 1 and Season 2. We hope you enjoy this week's broadcast, and we will be back live next Wednesday for the Midweek Update. Remember to tune in on Saturday for this week's broadcast, because we will be having, again, famous NASCAR race car driver Stephen Light, our Unlock Your Wealth protege, in the chair checking in to see how he is doing along his financial coaching path, as well as the president of the Institute for Consumer Financial Education, Paul Richards, will be joining us, and we are going to be talking about everybody's favorite topic, or if it's not, it should be, financial literacy. So thanks so much for tuning in this Wednesday, and we hope you enjoy this reprise of a previous interview. Thanks so much for tuning in, and here's to your financial independence. I'm Heather Wagenhals. Thanks for tuning in.
Now I have to bring you an incredible man and a significant influence in my life at the most important and impressionable time of my life, in my early 20s, as I was beginning as a sales professional. Tom is internationally recognized as the number one sales trainer in the world. But he wasn't born to wealth and privilege. He clearly earned this, because as a mediocre student, he began his work life in the construction business carrying steel. At the age of 19, he was married with a child on the way, and he was trying to find a better way to support his young family. His first 6 months in real estate were anything but successful. Not owning a suit, he showed up to work in a band uniform he had. He had sold only one home and averaged $42 a month in income. He was down to his last $150 in savings when a man came into the real estate office promoting a three-day sales seminar with J. Douglas Edwards. Tom hadn't heard of either sales training or Mr. Edwards, but he decided to invest his last bit of savings in this program. Not only did the light of understanding dawn on Tom that selling is a learned skill, he was also so inspired by Mr. Edwards' training that he became an avid student. He attended seminars, read books on selling, and even invested in some vinyl records on self-improvement. He applied everything he learned, and by the time he turned 27, he was a millionaire salesperson in real estate. He set records that remained unbroken until this century. After receiving numerous awards, he needed to conquer his fear of public speaking since he was on stage so much. So his mentor, Edwards, advised him, do what you fear most in order to control your fear. Tom taught pre-licensing courses in the field of real estate first. He also taught courses on how to get started in the business. Eventually, this evolved into his current sales training career, where he is recognized as America's number one sales trainer and the builder of sales champions. Tom understands both sides of the selling equation. He understands the fears of both buyers and salespeople. Buyers don't want to be sold, and salespeople, they fear failure. So the selling skills and strategies that Tom teaches today reflect an understanding of how to communicate with buyers so they feel confident in making good decisions about the products and services they own. I am so thrilled to introduce to you and welcome to the broadcast my favorite mentor in the business, Tom Hopkins. Tom, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you. What a wonderful introduction, Jiminy. That I was pinching myself saying, hey, is that me she's talking about? Hi,
it is you.
How have you been?
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's our word. For you that have never listened to us, you're going to find times right now where things aren't going the way you'd like, but you can't let anybody know it, especially you that are in sales, because your buyers or potential clients are always looking to you for confidence. And, hey, so you always got to be excited. And you can have the worst day of your life and someone says, well, how are you doing? Don't tell them things are slow. Just say unbelievable, because that really covers it either way, doesn't it?
It sure does. And with the enthusiasm you convey, it'll draw even more people to you.
Well, I agree. I think people today are looking for people to work with, both in business-to-business relationships or in, you know, consumer relationships, to someone who's excited and happy and positive, because the negativity that is so prevalent out there can really drain your emotions and can make you have this attitude of, why should I do anything? And I think that's one of the reasons why we have this economic downturn, is I think the average American, based on the political arena the last 2 years, based on the uncertainty as to our leadership, I think a lot of them just got immobilized and says, I'm not buying that car now, I'm not buying that home now, I'm not going to invest in a new computer now. And so when they do a John Q. Public, stop spending their money, it's a ripple effect that affects everyone in our economy, and I think that's what's happened. But I think the upturn now we're seeing is because people are having confidence. We now know where our leadership is. We now know that we all just got to get back to work. And that's my message, is don't wait for things to get better. You have to go out there and make them better by having greater activity, and thus you'll have greater productivity.
And, you know, in every crisis, there's always opportunity for those that are out there looking for it.
Oh,
I just wanted to I would like to share a story with you that you may not be aware of the other half or the other side of the coin with regards to me. And the audience, I think this is an important story for the audience to know why I selected you and asked you to be a part of this show. I was in my early 20s, and I was a pretty decent stockbroker, and I switched to investment advising, and I had one of my friends I ran around with worked with you, Marty, and he was gung-ho about all of your stuff, and he kept telling me, Heather, you need a checkup from the neck up, and you really need to start refining your skills. And so he said, here, you need to start buying all of these things. And so I started acquiring your materials, and How to Master the Art of Selling was the first book that he gave me. And then the next thing I got was the official guide to success that you had, that whole program with all of the books and tools and everything. And I couldn't believe what the process was involved in selling. And although I was doing pretty good, and I can only attribute that to my personality at the time, because I had no method to the madness. And by using your needs analysis, I exponentially increased my sales. And I remember in 94, it was the weekend of my 25th birthday. And I didn't get along very well with the guys in my shop, and that's mostly because I was this, you know, I was 15 years their junior, and I was a smart aleck at the time and an egomaniac. And so not only was I doing well at sales and usually beating many of them at sales records for the month, I made it a point to rub it in their face. So that probably wasn't. It probably wasn't such a good thing in retrospect. I thought, well, maybe I could have built a few more friends if I wouldn't have behaved that way. And I remember going to your Academy of Champions at PFS, and after the first break, I walked up. I'm like, there's a trophy? And I said, you can win a trophy? And so I picked it up, and I held it, and it felt so good. It was so heavy. It was like 3 feet tall or something. And one of the guys in my office that I was always mean to was standing behind me, and he goes, put that down like you're ever going to get that. And I just looked at him, and I set it down, and I said, you know what? I won't touch this again until it's mine. And I studied my tail off. I practiced and practiced, and I never lost a dime of nasty cash, and I got two of the jumps. I was so proud of myself. I got two of the jumps because I was out of my chair. I was in the front row and in your face over top of the desk every time, and you picked me. And I answered correctly. I didn't miss a single question on any of the exams. And I loved how you had everybody stand up after everybody was scored. And then as you ran up the numbers, the people started sitting down and the people started sitting down. And I was the only one in my office, and you were just in like the 80s. And then you got to the 90s, and I'm looking around the room, and there's probably 1,500 to 2,000 people in this room, and I'm still standing. And one of the guys starts tugging on my sleeve, and he goes, shouldn't you have sat down? And I just kind of pushed my booklet over to him, and I just kept standing there so he could see my 100%. And I was the last one standing, and that was the most incredible moment of my life when I won your boot camp. And I thought it was quite a compliment. Like 10 years later, you were doing an event for high achievers, and we were chatting, and I mentioned that I was a past champion, and you brought me on stage to recite the Champion's Creed, and I was so excited, and I still remember it verbatim today, and I teach that along with the needs analysis and so many of those other tools that you taught to my real estate professionals, because I own a real estate company now, and I teach it to them every day. I have them say that Champion's Creed as their mantra, and I am not judged by the number of times I fail, but by the number of times I succeed, and the number of times I succeed is in direct proportion to the number of times I can fail and keep trying. And so
one of the reasons I think boot camp, the three-day programs, had such a positive effect and long-lasting success with folks is because of that hard study. You know, many people go to a seminar and they don't take a lot of notes and they don't stay up and study. And that competition to win that trophy, believe it or not, is why it's been such a successful program, because, you know, people come in there with an attitude, oh, I'll just sit and listen. Then all of a sudden they get caught up in the competition. Then all of a sudden I challenge them to pass that, you know, their final, and they write out all the closing techniques. And so I'm just proud of you because, you know, we've had probably some of the highest income earning people in the field of sales and marketing that have won that trophy. And that's because they paid the price at the boot camp. But that's wonderful. I love stories like that. I think more than anything else, you know, I live pretty much every week on an airplane going somewhere in the world to do a seminar, and I think the thing that motivates me most is stories like yours, that our testimonies to the stuff that I teach does work if a person applies it. And obviously, you know, you've done extremely well, and I think it's a testimony to the fact that you've been a constant student. And that's one thing the folks listening, I hope, will realize, that there's a little old saying that the school is never out for a true professional. And one thing I find is there were people in the last 7 or 8 years of our boom market before this last year and a half that didn't need to have a lot of skills because the market was so good. I know I had some real estate friends that 3 or 4 years ago, they were selling so much real estate and they'd never really been to much training. And a lot of them now are saying, now I really have to learn what to say and do, because the old days of winging it, the old days of hoping that you make a sale, those days are pretty much over for a while. So I love your story. Thanks so much.
seeing you at the grand opening of Fox Sports Grill, and another compliment that I felt so deeply proud of is when you asked me to be a part of, I think it was the round table of your past champions for some sort of board, and I thought, wow, Tom is asking me. I was so honored when you asked me to be a part of that. And, you know, I am a seminar junkie, and I always go with an open mind, and I just think if I just get one more tool for my toolbox, then it was all worth it. You know, it was all worth
it. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I've gone to seminars, Heather, where the speaker maybe wasn't dynamic and maybe the material was a little mundane based on where I was at, but all of a sudden, because my mind was open, one or two sentences were what I call pearls. And those pearls from that whole three-hour talk really added to my growth because I was open-minded. And there's a disease that many people in the field of sales and marketing get. It's called know-it-all-itis. And this know-it-all-itis disease is kind of like, I have all I need, I don't need any more. And that might be true in a booming market, but when it's very competitive as it is now, when buyers are immobilized with fear, you know, you really have to know your stuff. And so that's one reason why I think a lot of folks are coming to our program more than ever, because they realize I've got to get my skill level up if I'm going to keep my income at what it was when it was booming.
Well, I'm a native here in Phoenix, and I just watched my community, my real estate community, crumble and kind of go cannibal on itself when things were good, because all these people just flooded in just to make the money. They were unscrupulous. A lot of these discount brokerages popped up, and I'm worth my full commission because I'm going to do what the other person won't do. I'm going to tell you what you need to know about your transaction, whether or not it's appropriate, and why. And, you know, I can walk away. I don't have to make every sale. And when something isn't right, you know, or someone asks me to discount my fees, and in return I'm saying, let me build my value for you, because discounted fees is always discounted service. You can't become a professional and continually upgrade your education and discount your fees. I'm worth it because I have had more training and more continuing education that is, you know, double or triple what the state requires you to have, because I'm in pursuit of that highest level of professionalism I can offer. And, you know, I remember Marty when he was trying to extol the virtues of attending your workshop, because I'm like, wow, that's an awful lot of money. And he says, think about the money that people spend on college, and all that does is get you ready to go have to learn how to do something. This is how to do it without 4 years of the malarkey in college. And I thought, well, yeah, you're right. $500 is a little bit cheaper than, you know, $20,000. But and I'm actually going to come away with some skill sets. And after that, after seeing your presentation and actively participating in it and competing to win, I was completely sold on the value of these seminars. You learn so much more in these to actually have skills that you can take into the marketplace than what you learn in college. And not that that's not valuable, but, you know, that's a foundation of reference. But these seminars are real tools to implement for success.
Definitely. And of course, you know, I didn't go and finish college. I wish I had of. I'd love to have a degree today, because I think doors have closed that might have been possible politically and so forth if I'd have had the degree. But, you know, I was fortunate to find my niche. And that's one of the keys to this subject called success, is I think you have to find a way to make a living that is really not work, because you enjoy it so much. And because you enjoy it so much, you give back into the business so much that people are gravitated towards you as far as wanting to not only learn from you, in my instance, or invest in property from you. My last year, my eighth year in real estate, 96% of the people that I got in my car to show properties to were referred to me by someone else that I'd made happy. And, you know, you made one comment that I hope everybody listening picked up on, that if it wasn't right, you would advise them not to do it. And that was always my philosophy. Thank God I didn't need the money so bad that I would try to ever have someone make a bad decision in purchasing something. And that integrity long term is what I think keeps you in the forefront of your industry. And a lot of people today, I think, need to have the ethics and integrity back in the field of not only sales and marketing, but in business in general, because we have had a tarnishing effect on the entire field of business with what's happened with a lot of leaders and companies and some of these major companies that are, you know, almost going out of business. And a lot of it, I think, was because of a greed to make a profit without a concern for the right thing. And I've had a belief, Heather, I know you agree, that if you always do the right thing, long term you'll succeed and you'll accomplish your goals because you're living the proper way. But I just think it's great when people share that, and I'm so glad you do as well.
You know, I also have felt that door shut because I had to drop out of college my senior year because my mother was having problems, again, a recurrent issue from breast cancer. So I had to go to work full-time because my brother was on academic scholarship. And, you know, the mentality still back then was that, you know, boys needed to go to school because they were going to be the providers, girls get married off. So I was the oldest, and it was, you know, kind of just the cards were played in my direction, and I always thought that I would go back, but here I am almost 40, and I didn't make it back, and that excluded me from other jobs. But I think that that insecurity of knowing I didn't graduate from college is what has made me such a voracious learner and a seminar junkie, because I feel like I'm, you know, one step behind everybody else. So I'm constantly reading personal development stuff to improve myself.
Sure. And, well, and another thing too, that I'm sure we share is, what's amazing is how many folks that are coming to training realize that, you know, that you're as good as your ability to communicate effectively and your ability to relate to others and not ask them to change and relate to you. And I hope the folks listening, if some of them haven't been to boot camp, you know, we have our once-a-year program. Really, I love the boot camp, you know, because what happened to you happens if people are searching like you and I have always been searching. Give me more answers. I have a thirst for knowledge. I want to be better. I want to have a greater income, be happier. And as I mentioned earlier, finding this niche is loving what you do. And selling is probably the highest income earning opportunity for those that know what they're doing, especially in these times. Many of you that are listening might have competition. Many of them, I think, are kind of sitting around waiting. And so it's a great time to take market share and get a lot of the business that you might be wanting to get from competition. But anyway, Heather, I so hope if you have a chance to come by and say hi at the program, I'd love to introduce you. And, you know, my birthday is the middle day on the 28th, so we're going to have a little fun on that too. But if anybody's interested, if they call, we'll send them a complimentary brochure, and maybe it might be time for some of them to graduate as, you know, what we call the Tom Hopkins champions. But I sure appreciate you having me on your show, and I just wish you all the continued success, Heather, and thanks for what you do for so many.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American, and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.